What's up, ladies and gents? Welcome back to the Aim a Little Higher. What's up? It's your boy Kamal, joined by
Eliza.
And who are you?
Storm.
It's the usual lineup. You know who's here by now. And Patrick's on the text. I was going to say Dex. I was going to say Dex, but he's using the technology to say he's on the text. That's what I'm going for. But welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. It's good to be back. Good to have two episodes in a row. This is beautiful.
I know.
This is beautiful. We're changed people. It's like Aim a Little Higher 2.0.
I feel like, to be fair, Storm and I are just always here.
Yep, I tried to share responsibility there. It's me. Do you know what? I'm going to take personal responsibility. I'm going to take full blame. It's me.
Oh, good link to the theme there. Good link to the theme.
I acknowledge that I was a problem and I came up with a solution so that I could stop being a problem.
Good.
And that's what we want to talk about today. 100%. Personal responsibility and this, like, predicting your failure in advance to keep you safe. It's very interesting times. I was in school literally yesterday and the student was saying to me, like, subjects, there were some going all right, but this one subject is going terribly. And I was like, okay, fair, why? The teacher is awful. I'm like, okay. And everyone's like, no, she honestly, he walked in the other day and got in trouble for just walking in. I was like, all right, cool. Do you know what? Let's play the game. I'll play along. Yeah, she's awful. So what are you going to do now? Well, I've tried so hard. I've gone to head of year, asked to be moved. They're not moving me. I was like, cool. I believe you. Now what? Well, I'm not going to do well in business now, am I? Because she's rubbish. I'm like, okay, cool. So you're going to do rubbish in business? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, okay. He's looking at me like, what do you mean? Like, fix it. I'm like, if you know that that's the fact, and you're still going to take the same action of going into this class that you know you don't do well and that you know the teacher doesn't like you and the teacher can't teach, if we're going with that story, and you're still doing nothing about it, then you deserve to fail. It's on you. Why, if you know that's a fact, why would you continue to do the same thing and continue to get the same result and be angry about it? Why have you not gone into your own time, gone online and started to learn the fundamentals of business? Why have you not gone in, got a past paper and looked at that? Why have you not taken action? And it's like, oh, yeah. It's almost like we forget that we have some control too. Mm-hmm. And that we can, even in the worst situation where all things are against us, still go and point the finger back on ourselves and make an actual change. And it was a frustrating conversation. But he's not alone. He's not the only person I've had this conversation with. And we're not even talking just young adults. It's grown, grown adults who had this conversation too. Mm. What's the problem? Why do we do this? Why do we continue walking down a path that is failing us and not do anything to change it for ourselves? Help.
I think number one, we've, like, in the school sense, we've heavily demonized teachers. And we've basically said, well, school doesn't teach you anything of what you need to know. We'll never go through life and you'll have to use Pythagoras theorem, and we like use these strange aspects of what they teach us at school. And yeah, like, fair enough, some people might not have to use Pythagoras theorem, but I think what school does teach you is, or what it should, is the little things like that, where you're going to come across people that you don't get along with. They're going to be in charge of you and you're going to have to still be successful regardless. Yeah. And it's not something that will just happen at school, sadly for you, if you think it is. It is something that will happen throughout your life. There will constantly be people, whether they might be friends, family, or employers, or colleagues, that don't want you to be successful, that will put barriers in the way for you getting there. Some of them you'll quite like. It might be, we're going to get to work late. It might be, we're going to leave work early. It might, and some of them you might not like. It might be the fact that you're worth promotion, or you're doing all this work, but you're not getting paid enough. All of those things are barriers and they will consistently get in your way. You need to engage in conversations. Why have you not engaged in a conversation with that teacher? I highly doubt that there's been a rational conversation with that teacher to say how you feel. I think that's a general lie that we tell. I think also there's like a massive fear of when everything actually is going well and things are going swimmingly.
Oh, interesting.
It's now only you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's now up to you. It's only on you if you fail. It's nice to have somebody to go blame it on.
It's them. It's them.
I'm not getting it. They're not explaining it very well. They don't like me. And all of that, when actually it's like, okay, well, what are you doing? It sounds like maybe as he's doing well in all the other subjects, maybe there is something wrong with this teacher. Maybe because he's got this in his brain, he does walk into the classroom a little bit more relaxed or angry mm-hmm. than he would into another classroom. I think to say that the prejudgments that we have walking into a lesson, especially when we don't like somebody, don't affect our behaviour. They probably do. But I do think sometimes it's easier to blame other people for failings.
Yeah, absolutely.
Than yourself and look inwardly. Another point I would say is the preempting of failure I find really scary. You had that situation yesterday. On last week, I had a situation where a girl literally was like, I asked her what she's doing. She's at college at the moment and she's doing business. I said, oh, what's your future look like? What's your goal? And she said, I don't have one. Mm. And I was like, oh, okay, so you have no plan of what you're doing after this. She goes, no, if I have a plan, there's a likelihood that I'll fail it. And I said, okay, that's crazy. So just to clarify, you would rather 100% fail with zero plan rather than the possibility that if you had a plan, like even 1%, that it might actually go through and therefore that 1% might be successful. And she was like, yeah. And I had to double down because I was like, I don't know what I want to do forever. I think saying what you want to do forever, anyone that can think of what they want to do forever, crazy. I don't understand it. But to say that you're at college for 2-3 years, and so you don't know what's going to happen. Like you're in education for half of that time. So you should know, well, this is what my next year looks like, a roundabout. And then this is why I'm here studying all of this, because otherwise I don't know why you're there. You may as well just not be there. So in the third year, what are you going to do? You saying that you have no idea what you want to do is ridiculous, pathetic. As a taxpayer, I don't know why I'm paying for you to be here. You may as well just go home and just do nothing for the rest of your life. I genuinely get angry about it. Like if somebody saw my tax statement and I asked them to pay that for me to go and sit at college and go, well, I don't know what I'm doing. No, it is actually your responsibility to know what you're doing. It is your responsibility to go, this is how I'm going to be an asset to society after I leave. Otherwise, I have no idea what I'm paying for you to be there for. And I think for some reason, people think, oh, well, it's up to me. It's my future. I can do whatever I want. No, it's not. That has a knock-on effect on everybody else down the line. It has a knock-on effect on the fact that if you decide that you don't actually want to go to work in the future, well, somebody's going to have to pay for you to live there. So either our taxes will stay the same because someone might have passed away that's on benefits, or our taxes are going to go up because we're going to have to pay for you. Or you might decide, I want to go to uni. Well, guess what? Who's going to pay for that uni? I'm guessing me. So I don't want you to go to uni and then go, oh, well, actually, I don't know what I'm doing here. Spend 3 years, cost 27 grand, and then again, give nothing back. Like, no, I don't want life to happen to you, not only because of you, but because of everybody else that's growing up in society. You have a duty to all of those people around you to do better. And I think the idea that it's like, well, actually, I don't want to really wish I could do anything because then I might fail. It's ludicrous because you'll be guaranteed to fail. You'll live a terrible life if you have no idea what's going to happen to you or where you're going. And that isn't to say you have to know every step. That isn't to say you need to know personal, professional. Some people have that and that's brilliant. But it is to go, oh no, I know that I'm studying business because I want to do one of these three things.
Yeah,
so cool. When I leave college, I'm either going to go and work for myself, or I'm going to go to uni and study all this, or I'm going to go and give this a try. And actually, if I don't like that, then I'm going to go over it. Like, yes, that has to be an idea. Otherwise, I don't know what you're doing with your life. You're not 5 anymore. It's acceptable when you're 5. It's almost acceptable when you're 10. Anything above that, no, you should have some type of clarity of where you're going. So like even 11-year-olds, I expect to have some idea of what they like and what they don't
like.
Some
sense of direction, yeah, based on the research and the time. Of your, not even research you've had to do externally, just looking at your own life and going, I've done this, I've done this, I enjoyed that, I didn't like that. Something in that direction would make me happy or fulfilled or be a nice challenge. Yeah.
No one has ever achieved anything, relationships, personal, money, business, professionally, just going, I'm not going to try anything.
Yeah.
Anyone that's gone, I'm not going to try anything just in case I fail, has failed and will continue to fail, guaranteed.
You get that idea of life's leftovers. You know, you'd never walk into a restaurant and accept them bringing someone else's finished plate and saying, here's what you've got to eat. You'd be disgusted. Like, what are you doing? But we go out in life with the same attitude of, hey, whatever's left over, I'll just pick up the scraps. And it's completely wrong. And you're doing yourself a huge disservice. Our last podcast, we were going live, and there were some questions coming in on the comments. And I think there's one now.
Yeah, so we've got a question from Molly. She says, "How do I cope with stress for my GCSEs?"
Oh, okay. So it seems like a lot of these issues that we've seen recently, that was college, so a step above, but even during GCSEs, it's like this is a stressful thing where I'm going to get scored. I don't want a bad score. So do you know what? I'm going to aim for nothing or aim really low, which either means I'm guaranteed to get it because I've aimed low enough that I can feel comfortable that I can do it. So I'm not going to have to stretch outside my comfort zone. I'm already getting fours, so I'm going to aim for a four because I know I can do it. Or I'm going to aim for nothing at all, and then who cares? I'm not going to be disappointed. You can never turn around and say, hey, you failed. I didn't fail. I didn't aim for anything. That's the worst response to the stress of GCSEs, to give up or have certain subjects where you're like, yep, failed that, put that to the side, that kind of thing. I think for me, the stress actually comes from sitting back and being a passenger through most of that GCSE process. Then you finally get to the business end and you all of a sudden want to try and start working a little bit. That was stressful for me because I'm like, I've now got to cram all these different subjects that I've said I don't care about. And now I've realized actually I do care. Mm. I do actually want to do well here. And now I've got to squeeze it all in. That was stressful. So I feel like in the first instance, you've got to take away the stigma of failing and actually just go, what do I want to aim for? And have an aim at something you're going towards first and foremost. Because it just creates some kind of order. And I think with order, you can reduce stress. When everything's all sporadic and I don't know, this job is a bit rubbish, I don't know what I'm like, everything's just a mess.
Mm.
Once I was like, let me just put some order to this, right? What subjects am I good at? Cool. So I feel, what subjects am I not so great at? Cool. So if I'm going to revise, well, I should probably do 2 hours on that and only 1 hour on that because I'm pretty confident there and I'm not confident there. And it just starts to make everything easier to deal with because I wasn't so, just random and attacking things sometimes, then going with my, I don't feel like revising today, I'm not going to do it. It was like, let's create an order. When are the exams? How long have I got? How many hours do I think I need? And I started plotting it out like that. And I think order was an amazing gift. So when it comes to stress, the first thing for me, create some kind of order, some kind of strategy around it. What do you think?
Well, I think the first step is finding out what you're actually stressed out about. Because I don't think a lot of people are actually stressed out about GCSEs as a whole, because you've been in that process since year 8, year 9, depending on when you chose your options. So you've already been in the process. Are you stressed out about sitting down and taking an exam? Or are you stressed out about revision and workload? Or are you stressed out about a particular subject that you're not confident in? So find out what you're stressed out about and order them. That way you can tackle things differently. If you just say, I'm stressed out about GCSEs, that can mean anything. Are you stressed out about your lessons leading up to your exams? Probably not. Are you stressed out about sitting your exams? Some people are, some people aren't. So it's like you need to figure out what the root of the stress is. And for a lot of people, it will just be the idea of sitting down in an exam hall and taking an exam is scary to me. And then that's something that you process differently to, I have a lot of revision to do and I don't know how to structure that. So I think, like you said with order, once you know what you're stressed out about as an individual, not what your friends are, what your school telling you you will be stressed out about, what you are stressed out about, then you can tackle it that way. I think that's, for me, that would be my first step, because everything requires different levels of focus, different techniques, different mechanisms to cope. So that would be my advice, to find out what you're stressed out about first and go from there, instead of trying to have this umbrella term of, I'm stressed out about GCSEs.
Yeah. That's so true, because I bet even within us, did you like exams?
I didn't mind them. They didn't really do anything to me.
Yeah, did you like them?
No, I think I was really, really nervous.
Fair. I liked.
Did you?
I could sit down for an hour and just write. Like, yeah, great. 90 minutes and just write. It was just quite, I don't know, peaceful.
Fair.
It's just, everything I can think of off my head, and just, I'm going to sit here for 90 minutes and I'm out.
No.
I was like, 90 minutes sat here and then I'm gone and I'm never doing history again after this point. Okay, yeah. So that the whole thing was like, as long as I've got the information, happy days. sit down, do a big splurge of everything I can remember on the back notes page. And then, yeah, boom, it's me in the paper.
I think stress. Teenage girls specifically, I don't know whether you're on any contraception, but contraception stops you from being able to manage stress because it stops producing cortisol. So if it is around this time, I would come off any contraception if you can and you're able to physically, because it can lead detrimentally to you not actually being able to handle stress very well at all. On another note, I would say, I've always gone worst case scenario. Worst case scenario, I fail everything. Okay, what does that actually mean? It would mean I'd probably need to go back into education, restudy everything again, or retake my exams in the next year. That holds off plans for the next year. Okay, I know that now. Mm-hmm. Come to terms with the fact that there's a possibility of failure. That always helps me. That's the way I'm motivated, weirdly. But then, yeah, provide some structure to your evenings. We actually have loads of time. I know people think that you've got no time. I'm at school all day and then I get home, then I've got to eat and then I'm knackered. And it's like, yeah, this is actually life. Mm. So firstly, like, well done for feeling stressed. It means you're a human. It means you care. Great.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that do not care about exams because they don't have any plans for the rest of their life. The fact that you're stressed says that you care. Number two, it's great to manage stress now when your wage and your home that you're living in, the roof over your head, doesn't rely on you doing well. Right now, you doing well just relies on a quicker future.
Mm.
Great. Cool. We can manage stress now. And the one way that will work for one person is that it might not work for another person, but I would 100% say plan your time to a T. I love planning time. I always take on too much than too little. But the reason I do that is because I want to get to a place quicker. You, I'm guessing, will want to pass your GCSEs this time rather than going back to retake exams. I definitely did. So plan your time in the evenings. You do have time. An hour a day, even now, in the evenings is better than nothing. And know that when you walk into those exams, you will do them to the best ability in that time. You will be very annoyed at yourself if you don't take this time now revising and just stressing in the evening or getting overwhelmed. So take the time now to revise as much as you can. When you go into that exam, sit the exam, and most likely you'll do well and you won't fail. But don't sacrifice the time now worrying and stressing.
Yeah.
Make sure you actually take the time to revise. My mum always used to say, make sure you just try as best as you can. Trying as best as you can starts now. It doesn't start when you sit down in that exam table. It starts when you're at home and you're doing nothing or you're scrolling through Instagram, actually putting your phone away, making the sacrifices over the next couple of months to do better in those exams. So next year, you're not sitting in the retakes with a bunch of people that are way younger than you, because I know, looking at that as a failure, I would never want that. And I wouldn't want that for anyone else either. I can imagine it's quite demoralizing. Mm. Yeah, I would just like crack down and do it. Stress is a part of life. It is really, sometimes you go through harder phases than others, but listen in school, sacrifice your time as much outside.
Yeah, I've found that I will stress myself out more or not be as productive or useful when I'm trying to juggle and like attention switch. Actually can't do it, but will consistently sit down to do something important. So you've got your coursework, got a project, you'll sit down and do it with your phone on next to you. So you're getting into a flow, then it beeps, and you're like, then you come back to it. Just that, though it was 10 seconds, and you like replied to one mate, it's like you've now just deleted your whole entire flow. And I didn't realize how bad this was till I did this course on writing, and the whole thing is you've got to sit down, timer, 10 minutes, just 10 minutes, and just write. And I'm like, writing, I'm like, there's a fair bit coming out here. Oh, I didn't realize that I did. And like sitting with yourself and actually just doing the thing you're doing creates 20 times the results. We have to do a spoken word piece for National Careers Week. And I'm constantly adding to it. Actually, the final piece, after spending 2-3 days of rehearsing, going back and forth, changing lines, what do you think of this one? The final piece was written in about, what, 20 minutes, when I just sat down and just this comes to my mind, I'm just write it, and it's written, and it was better than all the stuff I'd written before when I wasn't just focused on it and I was just adding notes here and there. We do ourselves a huge disservice by spending 2 hours revising, but in that 2 hours we've only got about a 5-minute slot where we're actually fully focused, the rest of the time, yeah, in and out. What if you chopped all that time down and only revised for 30 minutes? But in that 30 minutes, you did nothing but revise. Your phone is off and out of reach. I guarantee that would be more useful than the 2 hours.
And also, if you don't have like a quiet house, because I know that sometimes it's really hard for people. I lived in a home where the TV was on, my brother was running everywhere. Like sometimes our lights didn't work, so you're working in a little bit of darkness or from a torchlight. And I did not know how to revise. I don't know, like I my revision style is literally do everything. So okay. I'll read it out loud so I can hear myself and I'm looking at it and then I'll write down what I've just learned literally from textbooks. And anyone that says you need a quiet room and you need the, like, no, if you have that, great. I never had that at home and I still managed to get my GCSE grades up. I think you have to look at like life as how your life is going to be. Yeah. My life has never been quiet. I don't want it to be quiet. So I have to be able to work in that environment. And the more actually sometimes you risk that environment early on, I can now deal with quiet, loud spaces, try and do a bunch of things while loads of things are going on because I did that when I was younger. So don't let anyone tell you, oh, well, actually, or use that as an excuse. Well, actually, I can't really get a quiet space. So I can't revise at home. Ridiculous. Many people live in non-quiet houses where they have seven siblings running around and they have craziness going on in their home and they still manage to get good grades. So you're not special just because you have that. It's not just you that's going through that. People have succeeded and gone on to do great things even with that, and that includes academically. So
you got to look at your environment and your resources and just be honest. I got to a point where I knew if I tell my family in advance that I want the kitchen table, everyone would leave me alone on that kitchen table. I was quite blessed to be able to sit on the kitchen table for an hour and no one bothered me. But other times I knew myself, if I go home, I'm done. I'm done. Today's been long. If I go home, I'm out. So I'm going to stay at school. I'm doing an hour after school, in school, because I've got my school uniform on. I'm here anyway. I might as well crack on. Then when I get home, it's done. It's finished. But is that real self-awareness? If you've got a lively, loud family, maybe you're going to have to make it a whole family game. Hey, we're doing quiz night tonight and it's going to be about biology.
Yeah, or sacrifice your lunchtime. Stay in at lunchtime.
Yeah. Work, like. Yeah, be practical. You know, just make it fun. Oh, we're going to do a quiz on biology and everyone answer the questions. If you've got that kind of family who doesn't mind having a bit of a laugh around it, then at least you're still hearing the information and you're getting tested. And look at your resources. Look at your personality type and just be real. If you pick up the PlayStation to play one game, are you putting it down after one game? Some people, great discipline, yes. Most people, no chance. Me, good luck. If I lose, I'm playing again. If I win, I'm playing again. If I draw, it doesn't even count, I'm playing again. So I've robbed myself of opportunities. So yeah, I think absolutely, be real, be you, and look at it in that way. And if your dog barks halfway through your revision, you still got to revise. We can't cancel the whole podcast now because the dog's barked.
Sacrifice and planning.
absolutely. But yeah, it's all still the same theme. It's just you have to personally be responsible for it and not point at, oh, well, I've got this problem or this person's not a great teacher or my history teacher's amazing, but my math teacher's rubbish. Even if it was true, which it probably isn't, by the way, from experience, because I told myself my math teacher was the problem for years. And then I found out I was the problem after doing some deep research. And then it all fixed and happy days, A in math. But you've got to look at it all and go, okay, if that's where we're at, what can I personally do?
Yeah.
And if you can constantly point the finger back to you, you're in a good place. I don't actually care what you get in your GCSEs. I care about results day and you open an envelope. Can you open it and look at it and be proud? Because you know you did the best you can. Because then who cares? If you get a rubbish grade in maths, but you did the best you can, fantastic. This grade actually reflects your ability. No problem. Not going to go and put you on a maths course in sixth form now. Not going to go into accountancy, probably. Great. We can use it as actual information for your future. My problem is you're not trying, so you don't know. And how are you going to walk around thinking you're not good at science, thinking you're not good at psychology, when actually you could be great at everything? You just haven't given yourself the chance to see what's possible. And that's the most frustrating thing I see when people fail in advance for themselves. Don't do it. I hate it. Are you guilty?
Of failing in advance?
Yeah.
To an extent. I think everyone's done it to an extent. I did it with maths in school. But then I'm a being of consequence, and I did not want to have to spend another year or 2 years or whatever doing someone I didn't like. So my options were try harder now, get it over with the first time, whatever that looks like, or you continue with the attitude of I've never been good at this and I'm going to get a bad grade anyway. And then no, I've got to now do it for another year or then maybe another year after that, because you need your maths for just standard.
Pretty much everything.
Yeah. So it's like, it comes to a point where you're just like, I have a choice and it's my choice, and whatever choice I make, it's my fault. And it's not that teacher's fault or that subject's fault or my mum's fault or my dad's fault or whoever's fault. It's I made the choice to either try or not try. And that is the end of it. And if I do try and I don't get what I need, at least I can say that I genuinely tried.
Yeah.
And then you work the consequence of that from a different perspective to, okay, I just know I didn't try. And now I'm here and now I kind of deserved it, really.
100%. I think responsibility is true power. The person you point at gets the power. So who do you want to have the power? And I see it across, not just in GCSEs. This is like when I work with lads who are struggling with anger issues and they're fighting and stuff. It's like, okay, well, who's in control? Oh, well, they said, oh, so all I've got to do is say this to you and I can make you lose your temper. Sounds like I'm in control. Oh, well, this teacher says, oh, so when they say that, whoever you point at gets the power. So the more you can point this way, the more power you have. And it sounds like you use that consequence as the power for yourself to go, I don't want to be in that situation, so I'm going to do A, B, and C, which is absolutely the way forward. I like it. Beautiful. Is there anything else on the gram so that no one feels neglected, like we don't love them?
I just want to say that your main goal, an adult's main goal, is to, or should be, to grow up and be a great adult. We've all come across adults that we don't like. We've all come across people that actually ruin our day or are not very kind to other people or don't actually contribute anything to society. And so your main goal, even as a 15-year-old, should be to grow up and be a great adult and give something. And it starts by you taking personal responsibility now. And I think if you're leaning on an adult at the age of 15 or 16, sadly, or even like excusing teachers or excusing the fact that you're just naturally bad at maths, which no one is. But I think it means that in the future, you're going to find it a lot more difficult to be that contributing member as an adult. You're going to find it really hard to create meaningful relationships. You're going to be really behind possibly academically, professionally. And I think that's not worthwhile for anybody. So rather than just looking on such a micro scale and going, oh, I just need to get through these GCSEs, look at it as bigger, as going, okay, I need to get these GCSEs to be a great adult in the future. This subject I'm not very good at. Why? Okay, well, I've got a bad teacher. I don't have anywhere to revise, blah, 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 blah. What does that mean for me and what can I do about that? And then you go in and all that is it's initiative, it's problem solving, it's all the characteristics that you're going to need to use in every relationship that you ever build in your life to be successful. And if you can start practicing that at 14, 15, 16, you will be an expert at it by the time you leave school. Anyone that's excusing themselves or for being bad academically or behaviorally will genuinely go on and not be great in life. And I think it's because there's that lack of practice. So use it as a practice tool, because that's who we need in society. That should be your main goal. Your main goal is, yeah, okay, get your GCSEs, but to grow up and be a great adult.
Love that. Love that. And the world needs you. Look around. The world needs you. You're valuable. You got something to offer. And yeah, make that your mission, and it puts away your personal little feelings. And actually, it's about this much bigger picture. Yeah, love that. Listen, ladies and gents, I hope that was helpful today. I hope that was helpful today. When you point the pick, when you point your fingers to power, you're working to become an adult and find your consequence that you want to avoid, and also find the thing you want to aim towards. And at least you're working from two sources there as well. Thank you very much. Any questions, as always, hit us up on Instagrizzle. It's at aim a little higher. and we will answer any of your questions. And if you've got some real searching questions, feel free to send a voice note. We'll get you onto the podcast and do a whole episode around your question. Peace.
Thank you.